Hello, everybody, and indeed, welcome to another edition of the Chicago Tony V Show. I'm Chicago Tony V. I missed you guys. Oh, it's so good to be back. Let's see what it takes for me to get back in the saddle here. I'm starting some music. There we go, starting some music. Okay. Back in the saddle. I missed everybody. It's good. Oh, it's good to be back. Oh, how I had dreams of sitting here in this seat surrounded by all this crazy technology that I barely understand. I'm getting to understand it a lot better than when I first started. You know, I don't know if anyone caught, we had a new edition of In the Green Room with Chicago Tony V that went out over the weekend. I was so jonesing to get back in this chair, I reached out to the beautiful Inside and Out, Georgie girl. We all know her. We all love her. Looks like she's going to have a podium finish by the time this show is over. And I said, hey, will you help me? Let's do another In the Green Room. Will you help me out? You want to do one with me? So Georgie and I, on Saturday, we actually got on and we recorded one of those things. Vincenzo Lickety Split. I don't know if... You know, if any of you have seen it, I would love to hear in the comments. I feel like that dude is—he's getting pretty good with the video stuff. I feel like Vinny is coming into his own. I still wonder: does that kid have any other computer clients other than me? Does he have any other income other than Chicago Tony V Enterprises? I don't know. But I think the kid's growing. He's doing better. It's good to see everybody. It's good to be back. Vegas, baby. Vegas. I was in Vegas. So I mentioned my trip before I left. I mentioned several times, okay, I'm going on this trip. And I mentioned two things. I always mentioned Vegas, of course, and I mentioned the Grand Canyon. And I always said, there's a third thing that I just can't, I was told what it is and I can't remember. Well, now I remember because I've experienced it now. The third thing was Williams, Arizona, a sleepy little town. It's on the historic Route 66. Lovely. Loved it. Oh my gosh. You know, one of these days I swear to God, I want to drive that Route 66. I want to drive the thing. You know what I love? Here's how to make me a happy camper. Give me an old diner that has not been updated, you know, since 1968. One of those deals. Give me an old one-off restaurant. I don't want to sit at a chain. I don't need anything fancy, but give me a place with some patina. That's what I want. I want some patina on an old diner. I want, and bars. Same thing with bars. Give me a one-off bar that's a one-of-a-kind that has been struggling along, not able to update their decor since 1978, and I'm a happy camper. And in this Williams, Arizona, this was such a town, a lovely little town, a lovely little town. And they had a barkeep in that I fell in love with. Beautiful. That's what I do. I have a thing for waitresses, etc. And off and running. Now, when I say, you know, I fall in love with a waitress, which I did a couple of times, and I mentioned it to Georgie on our In the Green Room from the weekend. Now, to be clear, I'm not, you know, I go into this thing assuming no lady is gonna reciprocate, have reciprocal interest, right? So this is all just in my head. I just sit there and I buy drinks or have them serve me food or whatever. I fall in love with them. I tip them very well because I just generally, that's something I like to do. And they're none the wiser. They have no reason, by the time I walk out of a place, they have no reason to know that I just had an entire relationship in my head with them, you know, and I mapped it all out. And it's like, okay, where are the kids going to go to college? Where are we going to live? I'm going to take care of you. Do you need a new car? All this drama, all this stuff, it just happened inside my head. And in a way, when you do relationships that way, it's cleaner. It's less cumbersome. I don't know. Is this pathetic? Vegas, baby. Vegas. You know, I'm having to do a lot of introspection. It's really interesting. This trip was unique in that, you know, I got back Friday night. Normally, by Sunday, it's like, I'm over it. I'm already moving on to the next thing. But for some reason, I've really spent a lot of time processing in my mind what just happened in Vegas, especially Vegas, because it's really unique. Now, the last time I was in Vegas, probably 15 years ago or so, right around there, I used to go with some sort of regularity, had some really great times, but it's clearly been a while. And obviously times are different. You know, we got this flu thing that's going around. Times are different. Everything's different. So I didn't really know what to expect. And now that I have experienced, I was in Vegas, I don't know, 3-4 days, something like that. 3 nights, 4 days. I'm trying to process, okay, what did I just experience? Because it was a many splintered thing. Obviously, on one level, Vegas always delivers, right? The glitz, the glamour, the lights, the promise of riches, right? Some of us are already rich. I'm not saying it's me. I'm not saying it's not me. But it always delivers on some sort of level. Hope. I think that's what it is. It's hope. It delivers hope. Anyone that walks into Vegas can have some hope. Now, for just about every last person, traveling to Vegas is a bad idea. Let's face it. All right? So I believe Vegas still delivered on that level, that hope level, the glitz, the glamour, in a way. Now, what's kind of interesting is to be around that city for a while and take a finger on the pulse, okay, it's kind of hurting. Which I guess in a certain way, you would expect. I mean, that whole city is, it's based on people being able to interact, right? Action. It's a city of action and interaction. It's one big party. Well, with this flu thing, all bets are off. All bets are off. And so, you know, I detected in a way in my travels, you know, there was definitely this angst and there was this feeling that the city was misfiring. It wanted to be fun. It wanted to be the hip place, but it's kind of, you know, it's not itself. It's not itself. So I've been trying to unpack this and think about it. I know this. I'll tell you all this. I'm gosh dang glad to be back. For some reason, I mean, this was a learning process for me, right? One of the things I learned is, gosh darn it, I kind of like where I'm at day to day. I woke up one day. I have this full-time job of the Chicago Tony V Show Enterprises. And, you know, I don't get paid for it. This is a non-salaried position. And I couldn't be happier. And so I sat there in the lap of luxury at the Mandalay Bay. And all I could think of was, oh, I can't wait to get back and talk to you guys. It's kind of weird. Speaking of you guys, let me go through a little bit of a routine. You know, I got to do my disclaimer. Everybody, please, everything I say is allegedly is for entertainment purposes. I'm just a crazy person on the internet. It's better for you, me, them, everybody, everybody. If you just do not believe a single word I say, thank you for doing so. Also, I always like to give a shout out to my podcast listeners. Thank you. I love you. I miss you. I love seeing your stats. You're listening on whatever, iTunes, Spotify, Stitcher, Google Podcasts. I want to explain what you're listening to so that it makes a little more sense. Right now, I'm live streaming on Reddit as we speak. It's 7 a.m. It's 7:10 a.m. And I am live streaming across Reddit. The reason I do it this way is so that I can interact with all my beautiful friends who I missed so badly. I missed all you guys. I call them Tony's Pepperonis. Chifafa gave us that name. And you will hear me interacting with them through in the live stream throughout the show. So just by explaining that, hopefully that makes a little sense. Speaking of the Pepperonis and the comment section, the live stream and everything, we always like to talk about the first three commenters in the show. This is like the podium finish. That's what we talk about. So let's check. Oh my gosh, we've got some VIPs of all VIPs. Certain people were waiting in the gold medal position. The first commenter after a week's drought is the beautiful, the talented, the sweetheart, the elusive RoboCat. Oh, how I've missed playing that little soundbite. Good gold medal finish, Robo. Miss you. Good to see you. Or whatever we call this. I can't really see you right now. But you know what I mean. In the silver medal position is the beautiful Inside and Out. And as I just said, I saw her 2 days ago because we did a thing. We did an inside the or in the green room with Chicago Tony V with the beautiful Inside and Out, the lovely, the VIP pepperoni of all VIP pepperonis. Georgie girl, good morning, Georgie girl.
Just a small town girl.
And in the bronze medal position, I'm pleased as punch to see him. I missed him, my Chicago buddy, one of my Chicago buddies. It is the vet author, Jeffrey. Good morning, Jeff. Oh my gosh, it's good to be back. It's good to see everybody. And Mudguts says, I think I follow you on Twitter under my alter ego, the Odd Pod. Okay, thank you for following me. Good to see. You should follow this thing here in Reddit so that you can be reminded when the show comes on. It's every morning, Monday through Friday, 7 a.m. Bada bing. Robo says, I see an inkling of a tan. Thank you, Robo. Yeah. I had a couple of days, you know, back behind this Mandalay Bay, Robo. They have 11 acres of pools behind this thing. I had never stayed at Mandalay. I've stayed at several others over the years. Never stayed at Mandalay. And, I had no idea where I was going to be staying. The Money Pennies put it together for me. And 11 acres of pool. So I was back there a couple days. Now, let's get it out in the open, though. And maybe this is a jumping off point to, you know, talk a little further about just about the good, the bad, the right, the wrong, the this, the that, whatever. But to get into the pool, now this is 11 acres of pools. I want you to think to yourselves, how many people can you fit into 11 acres of pools? Well, I'll tell you how many. A shit ton. Excuse my language. You can fit a lot of people, but let's not forget, We're in our time of woe, okay? No one on the planet is allowed to have any fun. We all know this. So everything's got to be a pain in the ass and be a restriction and all this stuff, right? So getting into the most gigantic pool area you've ever seen was a pain in the ass. And guess what I had to do? Thank Christ I'm a morning person. The pool area at Mandalay opens up at 9 a.m. 9 a.m. I was warned, hey, they only let thus and so many people through. You better get down there early, right? So I'm thinking, no problem. I'm a morning person. And also I'm thinking about, okay, these are people on vacation. They are not morning people, right? So it's going to be easy. What do I need? They open at 9. If I get there by 8:15, no problem. People are not going to be able to get up that early on vacation en masse. Well, I talked to a few more staff people. They kept telling me, you better take it serious, right? So I upped my game. I determined, okay, 7 a.m. I'm going to be down at the pool. Phone lines are open, by the way, everybody. Feel free to give the Big Diesel a call. I missed everybody. 7 a.m., 2 hours before the pool opens, I go downstairs to go get in line. And I had visions of, oh my God, I'm going to be the first guy at the door. It's going to be hilarious. It's going to be like I'm at a Pink Floyd concert, like they haven't toured in 20 years. And I'm first in line and I'm overjoyed and all that stuff. I got down there 7 a.m. The line, I'm not kidding. I had to walk a half mile to get to the end of the line. I'm not kidding. 2 hours beforehand. And it was a good reminder for me that how dare I expect to have any fun and ease of whatever. No, that's not allowed these days. So it was a total pain in the ass. But I got the first day, Robo, I got, and I was telling Georgie on Saturday, I got sunburned. I put so much sunscreen on, I was like the Michelin man. I looked like this big white Stay Puft Marshmallow man out there. I still got sunburned as hell. But thank Christ, I'm Italian enough that what happens with me is the sunburn, it turns into a tan. Just give it a couple days. YHS4262 says, where have you been, Tony? I've been in Vegas, baby, and went out west. Great time. Marco Bro 1 says, you look like a Romanian politician called Vadim Tudor. Well, it sounds like he looks a little silly. I know I look a little silly. You know, I've seen, it's funny you mentioned Romanian. There's a couple weeks ago, I posted a video on Twitter of some gypsies making lunch. And the dudes had hats like I have. So maybe I look like a gypsy. Free departure 5024. Any predictions for the presidential elections in 4 years' time? Yeah, I predict that it's going to totally suck. I predict that if there are elections, it's certainly they're not going to put someone in front of us that cares about us. No. It's going to be a shit show. And that's just it. Harry from the award-winning Gamers Watch is in the house. Good morning, Harry. Harry lives across the pond. I'm going to try and have Harry and Sean on this in the green room with Chicago Tony. I want to have them tell me. I want to have them coach me on getting a video game system. I'm thinking I want to get set up for when the nephews come into town, and I want to get a system where they want to come see me. You know what I mean? Where I can be the cool place to go, cool place to be. Borg wants someone to call in. Phone lines are open. Feel free, everybody, to call in. I hope I haven't missed a call. I've explained it before. The way the phones work here, for some reason, maybe I need to have Vinny come back, and I don't know if there's something that can be tweaked or whatnot, but I can see when a call comes in. I cannot hear when a call comes in. So if I'm looking at the comments section, all bets are off. Will I Will I catch it or not? We don't know. Borg's from Australia. G'day, mate. Harry would love to call from across the pond. Sometimes Harry spends big dollars back in the day to call into the show. And Harry, it feels good to have you back too. It's good to be back, you know. There's something to be said for a routine. There's something to be said for routine. It's comforting, isn't it? Jeffrey, the vet author, says he's going to call in. That's awesome. Wait till you guys hear his Chicago accent. I'm told that, and I believe, that my Chicago accent has diminished over time, which you would expect. I left basically 22 years ago under cover of night, escaped by the skin of my teeth. The cost of things, I said I'm struggling with, how do I make sense of my Vegas vacation, people? What did I just witness? One of the things I'm trying to process, maybe you guys have some opinions. I'm trying to understand, did I just witness evidence of mass inflation? Is that what's happening across the land? Is our currency being inflated? Or is Vegas just having to charge an arm and a leg for people who can still afford to go there so that they can survive? Just think of the light bulb maintenance fee in Las Vegas. Good Christ, the money they're spending on light bulbs and then ostrich feathers, whatever they're sticking into those showgirls' uniforms and headdresses and whatnot. It's a lot of money just in light bulbs and ostrich feathers. But get this. All right, when I say things were expensive, okay, I was at the pool, right? I was at the pool. The first drink purchased at the pool, it was like fruit punch and rum. It was about the size of this Dunkin' Donuts coffee here. $30 drink. Harry says, considering our podcast is an Xbox podcast, I'd recommend getting an Xbox. Harry, I'm thinking about getting an Xbox. And that's kind of, I mean, I want to have you guys on anyway. I want to talk about your show. But I want to have you talk me through it. Harry posted an image on Twitter within the past couple days. It was like a screenshot of some video game. And I was like, okay, that's it. I give up. I want that. It looks so cool. The artwork in these things. I'm so out of the loop on video games and how it, I need these dudes to talk me through it. Harry says there's some huge UFO news about to break concerning the Pentagon covering up evidence of spacecraft. Harry wants to know my thoughts on that. Well, that's a tough one, Harry. That's interesting. I mean, that gives me something to dig into. And maybe throughout this week, maybe we'll dig in and I'll have a chance to get informed about whatever they're saying. But I generally, Harry, generally look at it this way. The term that's floating around in my head right now, Harry, is fool me once, shame on you. Fool me twice, shame on me. What I mean by that is the media, whatever that is, air quotes, the media, all right, is complete fucking horseshit right now as we sit today, Monday, April 12th, 2021. Okay? It's over. It was over a long time ago. And, I mean, generally, the way I operate, just to give you a glimpse on the inside, is like, if something comes through the media, it's like, okay, well, there's something I'm not going to pay attention to. I go the other way. Oh my God. See, Harry, when you're as old and decrepit as I am, oh my God, the number of times I've heard UFO this and that, and Pentagon, fuck that. The media's horse shit. It's a propaganda system. There's a downer for everyone. Happy Monday. Let's all go off ourselves. Georgie says, I'm a Sony girl all the way. PlayStation is my system of choice. Really? Well, it's funny. I have a PlayStation that I never play. I have two PlayStations. PS2, PS4. I have these video game systems sitting around that I don't use. But I want to get an Xbox. And then I'm probably not going to use the Xbox. Booty Hole Casserole. Welcome. There's a new Reddit username that's really cool. Ask, you ever kiss your homies on the lips? No. No, sir. Thank you for the question. Here's a call.
Call from
Jeff.
Jeffrey, happy Monday. Good to be back. How are you, sir?
Okay. Happy Monday, Tony. And good to have you back, man. Good to have you back.
Oh, what a drought. You know, I think in the future, Jeff, I'm just going to have to do like these extended weekends. None of this being out for a whole week. I did not like that.
Yeah, I can't do that. I think in the last 20 years, I took 2 vacations.
No kidding.
It's just something about me. I don't know. But I wanted to call real quick. Last Saturday, I went with my son to the recruiter. He's going to go in the Army.
Oh, wow.
The recruiter brought up that they're getting hints from the Department of Defense that we're going back to a draft, right? It's already being sent to the recruiters.
What?
That they're talking about a 2-year draft for all males 18 plus, and then possibly they're still debating a female draft.
Jeff.
So I just wanted to put that out there.
What the hell, Jeff? What do you make of it?
I don't know. It's either something they know and we don't, or they're not getting enough recruits coming in. Usually when the economy is bad, recruitment goes up.
Yeah.
But we've had the economy was pretty stable until COVID hit. Maybe the numbers are just dropping off. But yeah, I don't know. It's very interesting though. So I'm going to be following that for a little while.
Oh my gosh. Yeah. We got to keep a finger on the pulse. Thank Christ, Jeffrey, that, you're a pepperoni, right? You're this historian. You've got this background. So who better to report back on, on that story than you? That's crazy, man.
Yeah. I'm going to be following that. I saw Harry posted in the comments about that UFO disclosure. And I'm also a big UFO geek, and everybody's been waiting for it, but I'm just afraid it's going to be another dud like everything else. Or they'll have some crappy explanation that makes no sense whatsoever. Harry should know about that stuff.
Yeah, Jeff, I mean, a lot of that UFO stuff that comes out, it's bullshit, right? It's like it's propaganda, correct?
No, what I'm saying is like they'll have a UAP, unidentified aerial phenomena. Like the ones they just released last year by the Navy. And then people will write it off as something. You know what I mean? It's always an excuse.
Yeah.
And it could be test flights for some high-tech aircraft that they have, whatever. But they'll always throw something out there. But what was interesting is at the nuke sites where we stored them, Italy, in Germany in particular, I don't know how many reports of UFOs over those sites. And this is going back to the late 70s and up until the mid 80s. And there's a lot of documents about that. It's really strange.
You know, just to be, I guess, just to be clear, because it probably seems, if people listening to this, it probably seems like I'm a person that, doesn't believe in UFOs or whatever. I'm actually not saying that at all. I guess what frustrates me is if you try and follow the stories. I think there's a whole lot of misinformation and kind of, you know, and especially it seems to me coming from the military and from the media, it's almost like sometimes they try and muddy the waters and just confuse the thing.
I think it's becoming more accepted, and I'm sure Harry can contest the fact, you know, there's a lot of crackpots out there also, you know, and they make these outrageous claims, and it just, it totally discredits, you know, actual research, you know what I mean, investigation into it.
Yeah.
But there's a lot, especially from space shuttle missions, their video feeds. And I believe at one time, NASA, they used to have live, NASA used to have a channel. I can't remember if they still do or not, but they would have live feeds coming from the space shuttle. And I forget the shuttle mission, STS-81, maybe, Harry, if you can correct me on that. And they saw some weird stuff out there, and NASA cut the feed, and they stopped doing live feeds.
Wow.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's just really strange. But I don't want to tell you up, Tony. I just wanted to throw that out there.
Jeffrey, awesome to hear from you, man. And
I'll be talking on Twitter. I'm getting that going this week. So.
Awesome. Awesome. Excellent. I'm gonna pump it up for you, Jeff. I'm gonna be your number one fan.
Thanks, Tony. Thanks, Tony. You have a good day, man.
Okay, you take care, Jeff. Thanks, man. Bye.
Okay, you should.
Jeff, the vet author, it's always just lovely to talk to Jeff. What a good dude. Harry says, Captain Fravor, I don't know if I'm pronouncing that correctly, is a Top Gun fighter pilot who chased a UFO and tells his story to Joe Rogan. It's a very interesting story. There's a military dude. He passed away, I think, right after 9/11 or right before. I can't remember which. Fletcher Prouty. He was, if you guys think back to that, the JFK movie from that big time director, I'm not going to be able to remember the names of any of the stars connected to that movie, but you know what I'm talking about, right? Anyway, the informant in that movie, played by Donald Sutherland, there I remembered a name. That informant is Fletcher Prouty. Donald Sutherland was playing Fletcher Prouty, and Prouty told at least one story after he retired of UFOs basically flying along with his planes. He was a pilot. He was in the Air Force. And very interesting dude. Chicago Tank 312. Good to see you. Says before there's a draft, they would activate all guard and reserves and call back all recent separated vets and retired back to active duty before they would draft. Yeah, that thought of it, that talk of a draft, that's scary. What do you guys think? Is that like a China deal? I do not follow the news at all. and that's mostly for my sanity. But I suppose, you know, there's a downside too, and that's, anytime there's news like this, I sound like a total freaking idiot because I just have no idea what's going on. Chicago Tank 312 says, recruiters lie. They're used car salesmen. If they scare you that there's a draft, you're more likely to join before they, quote, draft you, unquote. That's an interesting point. That's an interesting point. Oliver Stone, thank you, Chicago Tank. Yeah, that's, JFK was an Oliver Stone movie. That was a great movie. Robo says the U.S. did announce that they would back Taiwan if China goes in. Geopolitics, what a pain in the ass. Oh my gosh. Anyway, we're talking about the cost of things. A $30 cocktail, you guys think that's excessive? I think that's excessive. It's funny. I sat at the tables a fair bit because I like to when I go to Vegas. And I lost way more money at the bar than I did at the tables. I came Gambling wise, I lost about $220, which I was telling George on Saturday. It's like, that's a big win to me. I'm very pleased with that. No problem. If I could leave Vegas only down $220 every time, pleased as punch. But good Christ, the incidentals, that's where Vegas got me. I'm not a big drinker. I mean, you know, but I did drink too much, at least a couple days on my vacation, but what the hell? Those bar tabs, ungodly, that's where they got me. $30 cocktail, I think that's excessive. It's just a bit too much. I'm sorry. Let's see. Yeah, Chicago Tank says, yes, $30 is too much when I can get a bottle of Macallan's 12 for $75. Yeah, $30 for one drink, one mixed drink. Crazy. I tell you where else they got me. I mean, really, anywhere I turned. You know, I ate in a lot of restaurants and nothing over the top. I did not go to places that were, you know, five-star, that sort of thing. I would say very middle of the road, and oh man, paid a lot. You know, there's, you know, the one night I had some sort of Mexican dish, whatever, very basic. You know, a couple of chimichangas. Have you ever noticed on the Mexican food, it's all the same ingredients? Read through any dish on a Mexican thing; it's all the same ingredients. I guess they sell it by the shape. If it's this shape, it's a chimichanga. If it's that shape, it's a burrito. If it's this other shape, it's a, what's the flat, like a, it's a, I can't think. Then this other way is a fajita. It's all the same ingredients. Quesadilla, that's the word I couldn't retrieve. Anyway, I had a basic Mexican dish. Just the entree was $30. That's a lot, you know, when I can sneak on down to the Taco Bell, which I'm not saying I do. That's when you have a gambling addiction, right? And you just need enough sustenance to survive for tomorrow so you can scrounge up enough money to go whatever. Pull the one-armed bandit two or three more times. Those people are eating at Taco Bell if they're lucky enough to eat anything. Plumber for Life 84. Yeah, I agree, Plumber. Yeah, stay. I wanted to love my Vegas experience. I just think it's a rough time to go to Vegas right now. The other thing, I mean, the tables. You know, my game is blackjack. That's mostly what I like. I am not a I'm not a slot machine. Is that what they call them? Slot machines? Whatever. One-armed bandit thing. I'm not that guy. That's not how I like to roll in Vegas. Because, I mean, I look at that and I say, okay, well, now you're just playing against computer programming or whatever. I mean, it's programmed into the thing. It can't possibly be fair. Now, I understand on all the table games, etc., that's stacked against you as well. Just the odds. I get it. But I like sitting there. I like being around real people. You know, and you sit at a blackjack table with three other people. You have an experience together, right? You all get to hate the dealer together. You get pissed off, or maybe the dealer busts. Maybe the dealer goes to a rough spot. Now you all love the deal. You have this experience together. It's a buddy-buddy thing. Georgie says, I just needed carbs because my only calories had come from alcohol. This is true. I drank on an empty stomach at least one day. But sitting at blackjack, that's my thing. And what I saw this time, first of all, in general, and I tried to gamble at, I don't know, four or five different casinos, five, six, something like that. There's almost no more sit-down tables. It's very rare. It's a sea of these machines, these slot machines. They're all computerized. To me, it's depressing as shit. Now, I'm not saying I saw no tables. I saw some, a few, a little bit. But then blackjack. What they've done at the few blackjack tables that are around, they put this dystopian plexiglass thing around the tables so that when you sit at a table, you're enveloped in plexiglass, and there's like this little slot for you to place your bet through. It's the most ridiculous, sick thing you've ever seen. I'm sure it's because of this flu deal that's going around. But imagine. Mask, right? You got a mask on your face. You're enveloped in plexiglass. The dealer has a mask. All the other people have a mask because, of course, you have to, or else we're all gonna die. I'm already a little bit hard of hearing, maybe a lot hard of hearing. There are times that, especially when you haven't gambled in whatever 15 years, you know, you need a little refresher. There are times, one of the nice things is if you're confused about something, you can ask the dealer. Hey, set me straight here. What am I missing? Well, the whole experience was like you're in one of those Peanuts movies and the adults are talking. Wah, 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 wah. They can't hear you and you can't hear them. It's ridiculous. So I had some fun trying to communicate through the plexiglass. But here's what doesn't make sense, okay? My game, the game I love, blackjack. That's what they do. It's like we're all in our own habit trail, the little hamster ecosystem. We're all surrounded by this plastic. We're in our own little bubble, cocoon. Now figure this one out. I saw this at several casinos. If I wanted to stand up and go play roulette, which I did, all bets are off. You can sit around a roulette table, unencumbered, no problem. Have at it. And of course, that's because you need to be able to stretch out and whatever, place your money. You got to work the table when you're playing roulette. But here's my question. Which one is it? Are we all going to die with a little human contact? Do we all need to be saved from ourselves and enveloped in plastic? Or not. You can't have you. Why are you doing both in the same location? I don't get it. That's just me. Maybe I'm missing something. But I mean, I could play blackjack in my own habit trail, my own hamster habitat, and be blissfully protected. And I could stand up and go to roulette and, you know, kill myself from inhaling the same fumes that all these walking bioweapons are putting out. Freecha says, my name is Uno. Well, congratulations. Were you named after the card game? Or were your parents fans? It's a tremendous game. It's lovely. We're YHS4262 says, were people responsible in Vegas? Did you go to Fremont? I did not go to Fremont. I would say, yeah, people were very, listen, people are compliant as shit. And I guess, and I think my point is, I think it's what worries me. Okay. What worries me is, There's no room anymore for critical thinking. Done. It's gone. You just simply, what people are doing is just whatever the freak they're told. Whatever they're told. So again, if I take the entire vacation experience. Let's look at the airport. Now, in one sense, they're doing what every place else. People are so well trained. There's none of these people sneaking their nose out of their mask anymore. Or God forbid, your chin is showing. No, people are compliant as hell. Compliant. However, you know, these planes, I was on, 6 planes. I was on 6 planes. In the course of this trip, every last one of them was packed to the gills. It's like, what are we doing? Are we social distancing or are we not? Which is it? I was on shuttle buses in the system, packed like sardines. Now, in other places, like once you get out of the airport and into Vegas proper, all right, they have a great tram system that they have completely shut down. It's not running. So I can go from the airport packed like sardines. I can go, the strip is not very far. What is it? 5 miles from the airport? No trams, nothing. It's too dangerous. We can't do it. Sit at this table. You're going to be separated because your life depends on it if you're playing blackjack. But you go play roulette, all bets are off. No problem. Sit right next to the next guy. You guys all touch the table at the same time. It's fucking crazy. Makes no sense. And what chaps me is just that where people are at now is it's simply tell me what to do. Tell me what to do. And if the rules here in this location are drastically different from this next location, it doesn't matter. Just tell me what to do. Just someone tell me. So if it's in the same freaking building, here's another one. It just gets me. Now, trust me, they have, like in Vegas, they just have roaming mask Nazis. That's what it is. I'm not saying that there's anything wrong with it. Whatever, I'm not saying that. I am saying, trust me, people are trained, compliant. But I'm sitting in a beach chair, out in the open, and they got the mask Nazis going around. If you don't have it, if it's slipped under your nose, no one around me. They'll still flag you. They'll still flag you. But what gets me is now if we're drinking something or eating something or smoking, no problem. Have at it. So you could sit there. If you just had a drink close to your face, Spotify listeners, I'm doing this in video. If you're doing this or if you had a sandwich in your hand, walk around mask free. No problem. It's like, again, I say, which is it? Are we all about to die from this flu thing or fucking not? That's just me. I'm sorry. And, you know, I'm not the sharpest knife in the drawer. So it very well could be there's something I'm not understanding. You know, I'm just not that smart. But to me, I just found it very frustrating. YHS asked, have they jacked up the table limits? Oh, yeah. I mean, 15 years ago, I could find a $5 table, no problem. No problem. Now, 15 is the bare minimum. So, I mean, you know, to me, that was a big... Now, normally, I mean, most of the tables is $25. Whatever. It's a lot of dough. Stop yourself nowhere, says Chicago Tank. I'm nowhere, man. How can I be so ignorant? I'm not saying I'm not ignorant. I'm not. Maybe I'm being totally ignorant. Robo says that sounds fucking miserable. Yeah, it was kind of weird. It was kind of weird. I mean, it's a weird, let's face it, people. It's a heated, that whole thing is a heated topic. I never should have brought it up. Robo says it's theater tone. You're right on the nose. It's fucking ridiculous. See, I'm sorry I opened up the can of worms, everybody. I'm sorry I opened up the can of worms. All I'm saying is I just feel like I witnessed several instances where it's just not consistent. It's not consistent. And it's like, and the other thing is people are beaten down. So when I would go to Vegas, all right, gambling is fun. It's a fun thing. It's an exhilarating thing. Now, obviously, not for everyone, because most people are going there losing their shirts. I get it. But I mean, you know, I've been around those things enough. Like, it's fun. Trust me, there was very little joy in these places. Very little joy. And I think there were a lot of people just going there thinking, okay, I'm going to get my little slice of heaven. I'm going to have some fun. I'm going to go to the tables, have some fun. It was hard to find. It's a weird situation. Yes, Chicago. Yeah, I remember the Illinois, some of the Illinois people have said some really goofy things about if you die and you happen to have a positive COVID test, like if you're in a car accident, that's a COVID death. Yeah. Goofy stuff. See, can of worms. Nowhere Man, good to see you again, my friend. Nowhere Man says, seriously though, why does Australia, New Zealand, Taiwan, etc. have great COVID numbers and not America? Jeffrey's next comment is great. Nowhere Man, I'm gonna go out on a limb since I've already shanked myself and opened up a can of worms. The tests do not seem all that reliable, these PCR tests. I mean, allegedly, for entertainment purposes, who am I? I'm nobody. But yeah, it's goofy that these numbers are goofy. And the lockdowns and the open up and the lockdown and the open up, and it's fucking crazy. Georgie also makes a good point. They're islands, Nowhere Man. That author says, you opened up the lid of the Ark of the Covenant like in Indiana Jones. I love that comment, Jeffrey, and it's so true. Robo says, Nowhere Man, give up on trusting the numbers. They're skewed and don't represent reality. The virus is real. The theater is not. That's kind of the way it feels to me in a way. Like, I have some very dear friends that have, and a friend right now, her husband has it, and he's in rough, he's in the hospital right now, and it's really scary. So I'm not for a minute saying, I'm not attempting to say the shit doesn't exist. That's not what I'm saying. But it's just hard. It's hard to live right now. It's hard to know what makes sense. Yes, what a can of worms, everybody, huh? What a can of worms. I'll tell you another thing. Getting back to the this money thing. I want to verify because, I mean, it's funny. I look at this vacation, I think, it makes me realize I really haven't gotten out much in a while. I'm sort of like Jeffrey. Now, I go on vacation more than he does, apparently, but still, I don't go as much as I could. Not even close. But I'm trying to wrap my mind around, am I looking at inflation? What's happened? Or is this just a Vegas thing? The $30 cocktails. Another thing was like the the luggage. You know, when I was leaving, coming back home on Friday, I'm at the hotel and I'm thinking, and I had to get to the airport really quite early. So 4 a.m., what did I do? I go down to the lobby because I want to find one of those luggage things. I go down there, looking around. I don't see a single luggage deal, cart, luggage cart. And I found someone. Can I get a luggage cart? Oh, only the bellmen do that. You can't have one. They got to do it. It's like, all right, whatever, fine. So I go up there. A bellman comes up with a cart. I was like, oh, thank you. Leave it here. He's like, I can't do that. What? All right, well, my shit's not ready. Do you want to sit here while I pack up my stuff? I figured 4 a.m, you guys can spare a luggage cart for me to get my stuff onto. No, this guy had to leave. He had to take his luggage cart with him. He had to come. I said, fine, come back in 15 minutes. I'll be done, whatever. So they're very weird about this luggage cart shit. Anyway, so I tipped the guy, right? Because that's what you do. But I don't know what that costs, especially since the guy had to make 2 trips because there's stupid rules. Even though I know that's not my problem. You know. Anyway, so I gave the guy $30. Is that too much? I don't know, for a few bags, working the luggage cart. It used to be, now this was years ago, it's like, yeah, $1 a bag. What is it now? 2, 3? I don't know. I just thought, I'm going to go high. I'm going to go on the high side because I don't know what I'm dealing with. There's still, everyone's all up in arms in the comments section. Robo says, I'm drawing a portrait of Joe Rogan right now. Not really. I have a few things, like 2 or 3 things in my Reddit history, but I don't really post stuff. You know, Robo has a good instinct about all this social media. You know, she generally likes to stay away from it, which I think is pretty healthy. One of the things about doing this show, obviously it's given me great joy. I have dear friends. I love doing this. Hell, I work this full time for free. That ought to tell you something. But one of the downsides is I'm on the social media all the time. I don't know how I feel about that. That might not be the smartest thing. I might need to change that. You know, I'll tell you what else. Maybe I'll talk about this more on another day. But the other thing that happened in Vegas that I need to come to grips with, okay? Because this is a real thing. Twice in one day, I lost my glasses. I'm looking around. And I'm starting to really freak out because I can't see shit. I lost my glasses twice. Each time, you know where they were? On my fat face. They were on my fat face. This happened twice in one day. Now I like to, what I'm trying to tell myself is, oh, well, you know, you were hungover. You were tired. You didn't sleep well. You're out of your element. Let's give it a pass. But then the other part of my brain wants to say, that's the dementia. There it is. Do you see it? There it is. It's coming to tap you on the shoulder. Georgie, love you. Georgie has Monday morning meetings. You know, hell, I got to run too. I love everybody. Thank you. Thank you for joining in today. It's great to see everybody. It's an absolute privilege to be able to do this show. It's great to be back. I hope everyone enjoyed it. I just want to remind you all, before I bid you adieu, don't take any shit from anybody. I love you. I'll see you tomorrow. Bye-bye.